Live and local. Mornings with Todd Sargent. For our sponsor, Harvey Norman Computers, Rutherford and Bennett's Green.
Lovely to have you in the studio. I promise I'm not going to breathe for the next few minutes or so. John Vachetti, great to talk about education and a very interesting story. The headline was Charity Begins at Schools, and communities and businesses rallying to help financially fund schools. Is it the way of the future, or is it just a needs must?
You know, I think it's both, and it's both fantastic and a little scary. This is really an American phenomenon, Todd, as you probably realize, because schools aren't funded well in the States. The gaps have to be made up, particularly where schools don't have resources, curriculum materials, supplies, technology, or children don't have clothes for uniforms or food. A philanthropic nature has really had to evolve to close those gaps.
When did this first become prevalent?
Well, it becomes prevalent when we stop making education a right and make it a privilege. When education is fully funded because it's a right, we don't think of it as a cost, we think of it as an investment. So if education is an investment, we'll invest in what we believe in. If it becomes a cost, like paving a road or fixing something,
power lines or a dam,
then that's infrastructure. It's sort of necessary evil. And we've put it on that side of the ledger because, in fact, education and healthcare are the two major expenses out of government. And at a time when things are less in surplus, as we face now and for the future, we have to make a decision. Things get on the cost ledger and look like they need to be cut. So we're not fully funding schooling the way we might. Therefore, schools have to make up the difference. And isn't it wonderful that the community can respond?
Step in and do it.
However.
Yeah, I suppose the problem is it all comes down to the terminology. Funding is one thing, but if you call it investing, and the first thing people ask when you say, would you like to invest, they say, well, what are the returns?
Right.
And I think that when it comes to education, that's whilst we know what the returns are, for the first couple of years, you can't put a dollar amount on it, can you?
Well, just as companies like Bupa and other health services have figured out that if they invest in people in preventative medicine, it actually saves money on the other end. So if they get people moving and in gyms and doing the right thing, they don't have to spend as much on hospitalization and cost. It's the same in education. We've talked before about there's a 6 to 8 times return for fully funding early childhood education so that we don't have to later on remediate, incarcerate, or that's the capacity of children that gets raised. So education as investment means we wouldn't really need the philanthropic support as much if we really fully invested at the governmental level.
So it's short-term pain effectively for long-term gain for the future of the country. You can understand that if charities are donating money or community groups, but I would imagine one of the problems is when companies start to get involved and where do the lines become blurred as opposed to a donation or helping, and what do they expect in return?
You're absolutely right. And I think in terms of what's been learned in the UK and the US on the privatization is they tend then to want to run the schools. And most of the research on privatization and private running of schools has actually meant that they've fallen down when they take over the public sector because they look at it as a business to have profit. And in learning business, there really isn't the same profit. The profit is in great lives, and in learning, it is more difficult to measure in dollars and cents. So this will lead to a little more dictation of the curriculum, a little more dictation of what teachers might teach. In some cases, you could see disadvantage in the already disadvantaged areas. The wealthier areas, the wealthier schools can generate more donations, and you actually see the gaps rising between wealthier schools. So Western New South Wales may suffer from this move because there's less infrastructure to invest. And that becomes then a widening of those who have education and those who haven't
probably
getting far worse in society in the future.
Is it the thin end of the wedge? For example, you go to a company, let's just drag a dollar amount. You say, okay, Company X, we'd like you to donate $1 million this year. They get that, and all of a sudden it's, well, we need more, and then more, and then more, and you're going back and asking for more and more and more, and that wedge drives further, and companies want a return in some way, shape, or form.
They also want something that they can put on their web page as sexy. So, for example, if we give an iPad to every child, that sounds like we're doing something. Actually, if we got the teacher a master's degree in special education, they're going to be able to differentiate for that child. That doesn't sound as interesting. There's really little research that the iPad actually benefits learning. Kids like it, and it might be beneficial. We just don't know.
Yeah.
So where it gets steered might be to something that's more interesting. It also might benefit the textbook companies, the technology companies, in terms of growing their product they're selling, which may or may not be benefiting learning. So you're absolutely right to be very leery of this trend.
Is it here to stay?
We have no choice, because in the next few years, the government has only two choices: cutting health care or in education, or raising revenue. And at a time of lean resources, because the mineral and coal industries are not going to be growing the surpluses they did in the past, unless we bite the bullet and raise revenue, and that's through a variety of means that are very nervous for any taxpayer to say, that means we're going to be stuck with cuts. And those cuts have to be made up somewhere if we want what's right for our children.
Yeah. It's a slippery slope. John, thanks very much.
2NUR FM 103.7.